You are listening to the Sermon Podcast from the Vandalia Church of Christ in Lubbock, Texas. We are a community that believes in the value of all people. You can find out more about us at www.vandalia.org or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Vandalia Church.
I'm pleased to introduce to you this morning Hannah Sutton. Hannah is a 2014 missions major graduate from Lubbock Christian University, where she excelled not only in the classroom but across the campus as a leader. She was a leader in just about every kind of organization, service to the university and to the neighborhood, to the community, mission trips, clubs that you can imagine. Hannah was at LCU a very good student. She won many awards, including the highest academic award the university gives, the Dean's Award for the best student who graduated from the school that year. She received a full scholarship to Southern Methodist University's Perkins School of Theology and is finishing her third year now, which includes an internship. And part of the internship year involves preaching. And so we are pleased to help her with that aspect of her ministry. Hannah has been working with St. Benedict's Church in town here, the ministry to the homeless primarily, located on Broadway, and I think is going to be working one of the hospital chaplaincies this fall as a part of that degree. When she graduated from LCU, Hannah was awarded, I think, the many awards, but the most prestigious award in my mind is the K.C. Moser Ministry Award. The K.C. Moser Award is selected by the Bible faculty as the award for the most promising minister, and it's named after K.C. Moser. K.C. Moser was a pioneer preacher here in Lubbock who taught grace at a time that grace was not being taught, and I think it's Les Perrin used to talk about K.C. Moser and how K.C. Moser helped him to understand grace. And it's appropriate that this award was given to Hannah. Hannah embodies grace and service and ministry and love for God and love for people. And we're blessed to have her here. Hannah, please come share with us.
Good morning. Good morning. Dr. Patty, thank you for that very gracious and generous introduction. What I would emphasize from that is that I am still a student. So please bear with me this morning as you help me, and hopefully I can be with you. So last week, we were in the book of Acts, and we are going to continue this morning. But last week, Paul was in Athens. Today, the book of Acts takes an interesting turn as we find Paul in Corinth. Paul, throughout this text, finds himself at the center of unending chaos. Paul's stay in Corinth begins with him meeting the refugees Priscilla and Aquila while desperately trying to speak to anyone who will listen. Then he is opposed by good and faithful people, and so he's forced to go find another group who will listen. And then Paul is brought before the government due to his teachings. And if this is not enough, our story today does not have a happy ending. In fact, it ends with a man being beaten. Usually, when we hear the word Corinth, we think of things like hearts, wedding ceremonies, maybe even Valentine's Day. Of course, this is because we associate Corinth with the love passage that we heard earlier this morning. But Corinth was anything but a lovely place. In fact, Corinth was overcrowded, confusing, and harsh. Paul saw a Corinth that was busting at the seams. 200,000 people lived in cramped housing, while the few elite with power and money enjoyed comfort and rest. Such intense social class divisions complicated all the more by Corinth's status as a port city, which resulted in people bustling about, hoping to make a profit, but caring very little for the city itself. If Corinth had a reputation for anything in the ancient world, it was certainly for its trade, but it was also for its exploitation of the poor. Corinth was also a place where people attempted to disconnect from reality and self-medicate by attending the annual games, which created a web of tourism in the already crowded city. Those who were not mere visitors to Corinth, but actual citizens, experienced a daily dizzying confrontation with multiple beliefs and worldviews as temples to various gods lined the tightly packed streets. Corinth was not a place of leisure, luxury, and relaxation. The people of this time had a saying about Corinth, and it went a little something like this: not for everyone is a journey to Corinth. But Paul decided that a journey to Corinth was for him, and his journey contained arguments, conflicts, legal threats, and even violence. Yet this is the place where Paul is trying to spread the gospel to anyone who will listen. A place abounding in chaos. But chaos is not all that unfamiliar to us, is it? Our world is busy. Things change quickly and news spreads faster than ever before. In fact, we are so obsessed with chaos that the top-selling genre the past few years in both books, films, and television has been some sort of impending doom or apocalypse. You can pick your chaos nowadays. Earthquakes, so disastrous that California drifts off into the ocean. A famine so severe that children are selected to fight for food. And well, when it comes to zombies, you can have your pick. Zombies that eat you, zombies that spread a plague, or even zombies that are just really misunderstood and want to be your friend. While we are entertained by watching these chaotic events unfold, they somehow resonate with our human experience. We watch on the news in horror as children are saturated in the debris of explosives, and they either call out for their parents or are silenced by the trauma. And we wonder how our world came to this. And our own country, this last year, we lived in a space of chaos. Republican, Democrat, no political affiliation, it didn't matter. And it didn't stop the shouting, the name calling, and the tears. And now we're trying to find a way to breathe and live in the aftermath that seems to be compounding day by day. And then there's the chaos of our own lives. For us living in Lubbock, chaos looks like that electric bill, especially on this side of town, that we can't afford. Or the obvious neglect of certain neighborhoods and schools that lack adequate upkeep as resources are given to other parts of our city. Chaos sounds like the doctor saying, "We did all we could." Chaos feels like the tense shoulders of a sleep-deprived single parent who works 8 to 5, feeds hungry mouths, helps with homework, and realizes that tomorrow holds the same thing. Sleep, work, help, repeat. Chaos tastes like vomit after another chemo session. Chaos is the realization that the scope of our control is minimal. We, like the city of Corinth and the characters in our story today, are intimately familiar with chaos. We know what it's like for the world and for the church to be in a constant state of panic. But chaos did not stop God's mission in Corinth. Our story today is full of arguments, dysfunctional relationships, threats, and even violence. But it also provides a crucial turning point in the book of Acts. Paul, up until this point, has primarily been teaching and preaching that Jesus is the Messiah to people like him, other Jewish believers. However, in this story, the mission of God is shared with Gentiles, which allows God's mission to expand. And even still, some who are Jewish in this text, with strong convictions and ties to the synagogue, come to accept Paul's declaration that Jesus is the Messiah. When God promises Paul safety in this text, God says, "There are my people in this city," which which means both Jews and Gentiles. This story displays the continuation of God's mission in the midst of chaos. Because of God's work in the chaos of Corinth, about 3 years after Paul's stay here, he's able to write letters to the Gentile and Jewish church that is formed in this community. And we have some of these exchanges in our Bibles. And we might expect that when God's mission is spread, chaos stops. But if you know anything about the church in Corinth, and if we were to look in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, we would see that although the gospel has spread to Corinth, and to Gentiles for that matter, it didn't necessarily end the chaos. For instance, the church at Corinth struggled with many things. Some of them wrongly found their identity and belonging to someone like Paul or Apollos, or other times they had to rethink these class divisions that would sometimes permeate their faith community. In fact, even at one point, the Corinth community accuses Paul, of all people, of being a false apostle. But chaos does not have to subside for God to work and move within all the complexities of our lives. Because God is not frightened by our chaos. In fact, the claim that Paul is so adamant to share is that Jesus is the Messiah, and this Messiah did not watch the chaos, but experienced it, and ultimately died at the hands of it. But this Messiah was not bound by chaos because God is not bound by chaos. And so the mission goes on in Corinth and in our world, in our churches. At the beginning of our time together, we heard one of the creation accounts from Genesis. This story tells us that at the very beginning, God was not intimidated or stopped by chaos. God took the chaos and created our world. And yet, the world and the church still struggle. But God's activity, God's mission, continues in the midst of the most chaotic places and situations. It was the late 1960s in rural Mississippi. Over 10 years ago, it was declared that segregated schools were unconstitutional. However, for this small town, segregation in all things, not just schools, persisted as a way of life. Riots, curfews, fear, panic, violence tainted the town square. A few of the local Bible college professors, as well as ministers, were invited to a peaceful march as a form of demonstration. One young professor readily agreed, asking several of his students to attend the march as well. Upon arrival, the professor and the students joined hands. They marched, they cried, and shared stories. As they came to the end of their march, a long line of white blocked the road. As painful minutes passed, it became clear that the line of white planned to use violence as a means of coercion. The young professor felt his neck sweat as he glanced around, trying to find his students among the crowd. Suddenly, a man with worn hands and eyes that had experienced this type of chaos many times before, gently patted the professor and said, "Help me sing." The professor, in shock, watched as the man with worn hands managed to lead, "We shall overcome," without a quiver in his voice. As the words floated across the crowd, there was a change in the air. The line of white and those marching each went home to sleep in their beds without injury. Life has changed slowly and painfully in Mississippi. And if you Google right now, there is still plenty of work to do. Chaos was and is part of that little Mississippi town DNA. But if you ask the now old professor, chaos, no matter its form or the place that it's found, has not, does not, and will not stop God's mission and activity in our world. Let's sing.